Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So here we are again, Tennis Podcast Towers, dog on lap, myself, David, Matt, Nando's consumed, other peri-peri chicken outlets I'm sure are available, although I'm not sure that many others are available because Nando's is
dominating,
so cornered that market.
Yeah.
And we all very much enjoyed our dinners. And we've enjoyed another great day's play at Wimbledon. And it has been a great day's play at Wimbledon. I don't quite know what to lead with, because if I felt any degree of certainty that we'd just seen Andy Murray's last Wimbledon match, a three-set, pretty one-sided loss to Denis Shapovalov, then of course that would be the lead story. But I just don't know. As he left the court, I felt that he was making it clear that it wasn't a goodbye. I felt it was all in what he wasn't doing rather than what he was. But then we've all just read through his press conference transcript and what he had to say after the match, and suddenly the waters feel somewhat murky.
Well, I felt reading through them that he was clearly very disappointed with what he put out today, which I found interesting. I've always found it so difficult to read Andy Murray. I'd never feel like I've managed to achieve that, and that's fine. And I think that's what makes him so fascinating as a sports person.
And he would be so delighted to hear you say that. Oh. He prides himself on being unreadable.
I'll be getting Andy Murray wrong for the next 20, 30 years, probably, in one manner or another. But The bottom line from it was that he doesn't want to be performing like that, in his view, in the long run. It's not worth it, is what he was saying. He said, I've had to put a heck of a lot of work in to get to this point. And if that's going to be the result, even after the two matches he's had, admittedly it's in the immediate aftermath, but he's saying, I wouldn't want to do that. So the conversations will have to come, he said, if me and my team are unable to get me on the court in a sustained period of match play and practice with the top players to enable me to improve. Because Denis Shapovalov was brilliant today. It was one of the best performances I've seen from Denis Shapovalov in a Grand Slam. But Andy Murray was unable to do much about it. And in his eyes, that's unacceptable.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we all thought coming into this Wimbledon, this grass court season, this Andy Murray comeback, it's all about the movement. How well can he move? And actually, he sort of was moving pretty well. It's not 2016 Andy Murray, but it was to the point where I wasn't constantly looking for the telltale signs of him, you know, not moving out towards the forehand side and trying to protect the hip. He was moving decently. The tennis wasn't there, and that's why he lost today. And obviously, fatigue is a massive part of that. But then, you know, as he pointed to in his press conference, his fatigue was added to by the fact that his tennis let him down at crucial points in the two previous matches, and he played some extra sets of tennis. And he said the actual issue with his body is mostly that it's not allowing him, managing it is not allowing him to practice as much as he wants to get his tennis where it needs to be. He said that practice set he played against Jannik Sinner before Queens was the only practice set he'd played before Queens, which is one fewer set than you played yesterday, Matt.
Yes. And it was the tennis that led him down at Queens as well, wasn't it? We commented then that he seemed to be moving okay. He just had a really bad ball striking day when he played Berrettini, and he obviously feels that that has perhaps carried on to Wimbledon at points. I think he did say there were times he thought he played well this tournament, and certainly we would agree with that, having watched him play well at times. But yeah, it's really fascinating how that press conference has changed how I feel and how I view this match tonight. I was watching this against Denis Shapovalov tonight thinking Murray played pretty well, certainly in the latter stages of that first set. He was really pushing Shapovalov and staying with him. And, you know, Shapovalov, what is he, a top 10 player now? I think he is.
12.
Top 12. Mm.
10th seed.
10th seed. So that was, you know, that was encouraging. And I did think at the end of the night, I wasn't as sad as I expected to be, given that this could have been Andy Murray's last Wimbledon match, because I think I thought that Murray had got out of this Wimbledon what he came to it for, which was moments on centre court again, in front of those fans, that brilliant comeback against Oscar Otto a couple of nights ago. I thought Murray was content with that now, partly because he sort of suggested that that was the case prior to the tournament. But, of course, Andy Murray is a competitor on a level that I can't understand. So I suppose it's only natural that there comes a point where that isn't enough. I'm just surprised it's come quite so quickly. And as you said, he's put in all this work, and perhaps he thinks that was kind of the best I have to offer. And if that's... I don't want to be playing like that. I don't like this feeling that I have now, having just tried to beat Denis Shapovalov and, let's be honest, not come close.
Yeah, I imagine it feels very different to the Bautista Agut loss at the Australian Open. You know, losing like that today, it had a feel of the loss to Felix Auger-Aliassime at the US Open last year, the loss to Wawrinka last year at the French Open. And actually, there were patches in the match today that were more competitive than both those two previous examples, for sure. He had surges in the first and second set, but by and large, the writing felt on the wall, really, for most of it. And yeah, I'm having to do a complete reassessment of how I feel and what I expect. I'm still confused.
Of course.
As a result of what he said afterwards. Look, he's going to the Olympics. He will play singles and doubles at the Olympics. Now, on one hand, that's best of three sets. On the other hand, you have fewer rest days in between. It's a one-week event. I do expect that he will go to the US Open unless the Olympics is a disaster or he gets injured in some way. And then I think everything after that is very much up in the air.
Yeah, I'd agree. Because I mean, part of it is, if this is the ultimate, if Wimbledon is the ultimate and he's got to wait another whole year for another one, he's got to weigh up how much he's prepared to put in order to be here, hopefully at a higher level, and whether that's just realistic or not. I think, like you say, Olympics is another similarly high-level event, a box that he can tick in terms of, I don't know, it's just something he really wants to do. But
it's defending a title, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's the defending champion.
But again, I think if he were to have another disappointment there, I'm not wishing this on him at all, but I'm just sort of looking ahead and thinking if he were to have a disappointment, I think that would also be very difficult to take and might make him just consider really whether he wants to be bothered.
Okay, on the spot, did we just watch Andy Murray's last Wimbledon match?
I would say no.
Billie Jean's retreated to her teepee.
I would say no.
That's what she thinks of that question.
But she did. That was quite dramatic, actually, Billie Jean. I would say no, but I mean, it's just a gut feeling that he will want to say goodbye and actually either tell us that he's about to retire and play a Wimbledon or tell us immediately afterwards. I have no idea. I mean, he's never said that at all. It's just what I might imagine he might do. But yeah, it could be his last match. I'm going to say no.
Matt?
I'll join David and say no. I think he would want to announce it.
I thought you were going to say for a moment there, I'll join Billie Jean in the teepee. Because I'll tell you what.
I mean, I've been wanting to do that all day.
It looks so cozy. It arrived today. It was an impulse purchase. I was 90% sure she would laugh in my face and never go near it. And I cannot tell you how big a hit the teepee has been. It has surprised us all.
Nobody has accommodated to something so quickly as Billie Jean and
the teepee.
Have you got
a 6'7" version of that at all?
Yeah, I think every sentient being might need a teepee. Okay, so, right, so we shouldn't have led with that after all then, if that wasn't Andy Murray's last Wimbledon match. It was just Denis Shapovalov just putting in a really good performance.
Lighting it up
and being really classy afterwards. He let Andy Murray have his moment, did a good interview where he said Andy Murray is my hero, and said he told him that at the net, and it was a really nice Denis Shapovalov moment. He will play Roberto Bautista Agut.
Ooh,
for a place in the quarterfinals.
So interesting as a match, because it's one of those rites of passages, isn't it? That sort of match. It's kind of
a test of patience.
It's kind of like elevated Andrea Seppi, elevated Pablo Carreño Busta. That's what it is. Mm. And if you remember when he played Carreño Busta last year at the US Open, and it was he was playing really well. It was a massive opportunity, and Carreño Busta took him out. It was five sets. It was so close. He's got to win one of these. He's got to win one of these when it really matters, because I feel like today was a big step up, a big achievement for him. He handled that occasion. In fact, he just flourished in it. But he's got to back it up.
Mm. This was his first time on centre court, and he relished that.
Mm. He loved
it. And I think the most impressive part of the match was that end of the first set when Murray was really coming at him, and he hit in particular an incredible drop volley to save one of the break points, and that was the moment where I thought, gosh, wow, Shapovalov really is playing well today, and he carried it on throughout the match. But kind of like the Andy Murray press conference is how I end up viewing this match, the Bautista Agut match is how I end up viewing this match for Shapovalov, because he was great tonight, but to go up that next level in terms of his career and his Grand Slam performances, beating someone like Roberto Bautista Agut is how he does that.
Mm. By the way, I was taken aback by the power of his serve tonight. He averaged 120 mile an hour on his first serves, and he was hitting top speeds of 133, and I don't think of him as that player. He's not that tall. He's not that
well. I think he's had these shoulder issues for quite a long time that he's been managing, and he elected to skip the French Open, not because he couldn't physically play, but just to rest the shoulder, I think, and buy him a bit of shoulder canister.
And I think that's pretty smart, actually. I think we often criticise Shapovalov for making bad decisions, either, you know, mainly the micro level within a tennis match. His decision making feels like something he needs to get better at. But if skipping the French Open and resting that shoulder is what's contributed to him, you know, having some good warm up events to Wimbledon and now playing like this at Wimbledon, then you have to say that was a smart decision.
Mm. What a centre court debut for Denis Shapovalov. And speaking of which, first on centre court today was Ons Jabeur taking out former champion Garbiñe Muguruza from a set down 5-7, 6-3, 6-2. The story of the day, the moment of the day, the match of the day for me.
Yeah. She was amazing. She was amazing because Muguruza came out to be relentless and just knock her off the court the way she does. And she was having some success with that early on. And we actually ended up with three winners on centre court today who were all showing off in the very nicest possible way, showing us all what they've got because they'd never been there before. And, I mean, Jabeur was the best of the lot in a way because she's not just blasting the ball. She must have hit 30-odd drop shots in the course of that match. And some of them were off the clean return. You know, full-blooded first serves from Muguruza. She's hitting a drop shot on the return. And it was driving Muguruza to distraction.
And I love how much she loves her own drop shot. She says that so many coaches have told her to stop doing it. She just says, no, I'm doing the drop shot. It's a great thing.
She was so extraordinary today. There was a defiance about her that I've not seen before. She, you know, it was a 6-2 final set from Ons Jabeur, but it felt in the balance the whole way somehow. And Muguruza, I'm just reading from Reem Abalil, who's a journalist an Egyptian journalist that covers Ons Jabeur very closely, that Muguruza saved 24 of 29 break points today. There were lots of moments where you thought, that was your chance, Ons Jabeur, and it's gone. And Muguruza is a Grand Slam champion and she's not going to give you another one. Well, Jabeur created other ones.
Yeah, I checked with IBM and that's a women's record at Wimbledon, joint record for most break points saved in a match, 24.
Wow.
So, for you know, it reflects brilliantly on both of them. For Muguruza to be able to fend off that many and for Jabeur not to get discouraged and disheartened that she wasn't taking those opportunities and, as you said, to create more. Yeah, I thought she was amazing and I loved, as you said, David, the fact this was her centre court debut as well. I just think it's so cool to see players who've been around for quite a while now. We've known about Ons Jabeur go on to tennis's biggest stage in many ways, centre court at Wimbledon, and just be introduced to that audience. And I think the great thing about Jabeur is when you learn about her as a tennis player or see her as a tennis player for the first time, you're also getting this amazing insight into Jabeur the person, because in her own words, her game reflects her personality and her character. You know, she says, I hate routine and I hate rhythm and I play tennis like that. And that just comes across. And I think crowds really connect with her. And I think we saw that on centre court today.
She said, it means a lot, especially so many Arab people watching me and supporting me. I've received a lot of messages from different people. It's amazing. But I don't want the journey to stop here. I want to continue.
Well, what she achieved at the end was one of the most moving things I've seen on a tennis court, because when she was serving for that match and when the nerves were starting to jangle, she walked to the back of the court right in front of our commentary box and vomited in the corner of the court and couldn't handle the moment physically. I mean, she did, but it overcame her for a second and she was down on her haunches and very, you know, she was trying to be very discreet about it, but this happened in the corner of the court, just ahead of match point. And she got up and she served it out. And it was just, I mean, Annabelle Croft was in the commentary box alongside me with tears in her eyes. She was just so moved by this sight. And the crowd were as well, because I think not everybody could see this. And, you know, that's the moment where the umpire said to the ball kid, just move to the right a bit there, so that you're not standing
could you sort
in
of
it.
No, I thought he said, could you move so that you're sort of covering it?
I think.
Oh no, I think it was away from it.
Yes.
Oh, so it was just there.
It was. The area where the vomit was right where the orchid would have been standing.
Right. I thought the umpire was asking the ball kid to sort of straddle the vomit to create a sort of shield.
What I loved about what Anstia Bird did as well, she didn't make a song and dance about this. She did not say, I want to see a trainer. She didn't mention it. She didn't make a meal of it. She just got up and accepted it. Accepted that's how she'd felt for a few seconds, and then still went and served it out. I mean, my admiration for her is just without limits.
Mm. Yeah, totally. And she was asked about it in her press conference, and, you know, they said, are you okay? And she said, yes, I just need to vomit.
Sometimes I just need to vomit.
But she did point out that this is not unique to today. She says she has got some stomach issues which she's trying to improve. And it does happen to her in matches that when she's nervous, whatever water she's drank or whatever doesn't stay down and comes back up again, and she's dealing with this as a it sounded like a fairly regular thing on court. And just like you, David, I was amazed at how she managed to do that, and then, you know, look so nervous in that situation and then play a completely nerveless match point, which was an incredible sequence of events.
And I think she finished it with a forehand winner.
Mm.
Mm. It was extraordinary.
And she has this way of just sort of planting her feet and just swiping the ball away. And as you say, then just fell flat on her back. I mean, that was a title-winning moment. Mm. Okay, it was only the third round. But for her, this is uncharted territory. And she's done it against a former champion and a former world number one.
She will play Iga Świątek next, who beat Arena Camellia Begu 6-1, 6-love in under an hour today.
She was done before midday. I mean, extraordinary. Just absolutely crushed
an
Begu.
An hour and a half before centre court even started.
Mm.
Świątek was in the shower.
And it's so interesting because she admitted herself prior to Wimbledon that she was really struggling on the grass or not comfortable on it yet, I think would be fair to say. And then she was asked, yeah, but you won Junior Wimbledon, you know you must have some comfort on it. And she said, well, I only won Junior Wimbledon A, because I was just better than everyone in the draw and more developed and older, so it didn't really matter what the surface was, it was just my tournament. And B, because I was so pissed off that I hadn't won the Junior Roland Garros just a few weeks before, and I sort of channeled all that energy into Wimbledon. And I'm kind of thinking, maybe she's doing the same thing here. Maybe she's really annoyed with what happened to her at Roland Garros, losing to Sakkari in the quarterfinals, and she's just come to Wimbledon so determined just to ruthlessly crush everyone again.
Magnificently merciless, isn't she? She came and did an interview with us on 5 Live, and honestly, everybody loved it. That's one of the things that occurred to me. You know, it's 2 years since there was a Wimbledon, and there's so many players that have come along in that period, and she is somebody that is instantly likable, and that's how she came across on the radio for sure.
So, yeah, Jabeur against Świątek in the section of the draw below that, so the very bottom of the draw. It'll be Arina Sabalenka against Elena Rybakina Monday.
There's two contrasting types of match there, really, aren't there?
Sabalenka beat Maria Camila Osorio Serrano, the qualifier today, love and three, and Rybakina beat Shelby Rogers 6-1, 6-4.
Really hope Anstia Bird shows up against Świątek, plays well. Just wanted to do herself justice. Regardless of whether Świątek wins, you know.
Okay. I was talking about Sabalenka and Rybakina.
It just occurred to me.
Nothing to say about Sabalenka. Not
really.
Okay.
No, I'm more interested in this one, to be honest.
No, I didn't see those matches today, but I did hear that scoreline of Sabalenka's didn't reflect the match. I think it was one of the more hard-fought six-love sets you'll ever see, which I always think sounds a bit kind of patronising to the person who's lost it six-love.
You lost all the games, but
It was close.
Good effort.
Yeah, but I think that's another good win for Sabalenka. Mm. And of course, she's never got past the fourth round
at any slam.
So this is as far as she's got. Massive match for her.
Mm.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
David, are you all right if I move on elsewhere or more on Jabeur-Swiatek?
What do you think?
I say move on. I'm slightly, I don't know, slightly worried about how into this David is. There's two days you've got to get through without this match. Are you going to be okay?
I'll be fine.
Okay. Well, you'll also have to wait 2 days for Madison Keys against Victoria Golubic.
Okay. Not a problem.
Let's go. Victoria Golubic beat Madison Brengel 2-1. Madison Keys, we'd stopped factoring her in, we'd stopped talking about her. She hadn't been anywhere near a mix for a blooming long time.
She's in my quarterfinals.
That does not a mix make. She's just beaten Elisa Mertens 7-5, 6-3.
Good win.
Victoria Golubic for a place in the quarters. Mix? Anyone?
I still think there's too much scar tissue there, but I'm willing to be proved wrong. I don't trust her, really.
Okay, same question then about Karolina Pliskova.
Don't trust her either.
Beat Martintseva today, 6-3, 6-3, plays Samsonova, the wild card, who of course won Berlin a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
I'm into Samsonova.
Explain
me too.
Tell me about her, because I haven't seen her play really
well,
very much.
I feel like I'm on a journey of discovery with Samsonova. Things I knew before this tournament were that she'd won Berlin, which I must say clashed with Queens and therefore passed me by, and I feel terrible about that. Just on a selfish level, because I ignored her in my predictions, and I shouldn't have done, because I think she's really great. I also thought she was Italian. Turns out she used to represent Italy.
She was Italian.
Oh, really?
And she's now representing Russia, or actually has done for quite a while. And the other thing is that I remembered that she's the player that when you put in her surname into Google, it brings up the Wikipedia page of a Russian serial killer.
Ludmila Samsonova.
If you just put in Samsonova.
Oh, right.
The first thing that comes up, or certainly used to come up, was this Russian serial killer. And
a female Russian serial killer.
Yeah. Who was quite elderly, I think. When Anyway.
Elderly female serial killer. Those aren't... Those aren't ten and penny, are they?
She was nicknamed the Granny Ripper.
No way! Why am I laughing at this?
Anyway, moving it back on to Samsonova, the tennis player.
Just by the way, that would be quite an interesting project, wouldn't it? To put into Google every tennis player's surname and see what alternatives come up.
I mean, I think I must have been playing that game when this came up in the past. Anyway, she beat Sloane Stephens today in three sets, and you can see the confidence that she has at the moment. I think she's now on a 10-match winning streak, and it was her win in Berlin that actually got her into this Wimbledon draw. They gave her a wild card off the back of that. And she is so fearless as a tennis player. She's got these long, extravagant swings on the ground strokes, and she just puts her all into every shot.
Two-handed backhand.
How massive old is she? Forehand. She's mid-20s, I think. Mm. And she just out-hit Sloane Stephens today, I thought. I mean,
so
Sloane Stephens
fearless,
with a big strapping on her knee after her fall in the second round against Christiane. But yeah, fearless is the word. You know, she backs herself, and that is such an important thing, I think, especially on grass when you've got that game to back yourself. And given that she is, it really feels like it's going to take a special performance to stop her.
So Karolina Pliskova is not that woman?
I don't think so.
And sub-question, not in anyone's mix.
I'm so interested by that match, though, because, and also by Madison Keys, just because of this, the way in which we're writing them off. And I'm doing the same, right? Mm. The scar tissue is too much for me to overcome and too much for me to put them in the mix. But maybe this is where they rewrite their stories.
Yeah, possibly. I just don't. I just won't predict it. I'm just wary of Samsonova. You know, being better than I realised. The last time that happened with a player, they won the French Open, like 3 weeks ago.
I was going to say you don't want to be caught out again, but
I'm going to give you one. One last on Jabeur question. Is she in the mix?
I was thinking about Świątek being the player, and of course you're the one who picked her to win everything years ago. Anyway, what were you saying?
It's like that game where you answer the question before. This is a challenging podcast to present, folks.
I've had a long day.
Jabeur.
Yeah.
Is she in the mix?
Are we on about her again? I would say not.
Okay.
Because I would have thought Świątek will win.
Djokovic, definitely in the mix. There's the mix, and then there's
whatever he's in.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I said Jabeur will never be in any mix? Do you remember when I said that a while back?
We've moved on, David.
In your lifetime.
Yeah.
We're going to release two podcasts. There's the mere Matt track, and then there's the separate monologue track that David
Jabeur
is
special.
Recording.
Yeah.
Djokovic, in a mix all of his own, did his very best to lose a set today, but then didn't, to Dennis Kudla. We didn't watch very much of that match because there was so much going on at the time. We tuned in for the third set, and it looked like he might drop it. He was a breakdown, but he didn't.
Doesn't like court number one very much.
Doesn't like court number one. I doubt very much if he'll be out there again. I think it was very understandable today that he was out there. He plays Christian Garin next. Won today against Pedro Martinez in four sets. So, with all due respect to Garin, good draw.
Good draw.
Martin Fucsovics got the better of Diego Schwartzman. Four sets. Matt predicted it. And there was a time when there were sort of three really thrilling, excellent matches happening, and Matt put Fucsovics Schwartzman on the big screen. I was like, what? What is this editorial decision?
Was that just predictions based?
Totally. And in fact, I did it twice. I did it at the end of the third set when he was trying to serve it out. He didn't serve it out, went to a fourth. I did it at the end of the fourth set, and he was having a lot of trouble winning that as well. It seemed to be whenever I was watching, the sort of universe was punishing me for that terrible editorial decision. Matt but eventually got there.
More invested than anyone's ever been in Martin Fucsovics. Andrei Rublev.
This is a guy who's covered Hungary Davis Cup tie. I'm into Martin Fucsovics.
He will play Andrei Rublev next. Rublev beat Fanini 4 sets. That match was entertaining for a while. Fanini had a finger injury. I thought that
self-inflicted.
Of course. I mean, I've seen Fanini play some of his best ever tennis with just a selection of injuries at Monte Carlo a couple of years ago, but not so for him today. So Rublev against Fucsovics for a place in the quarterfinals. Tiafoe's a goner.
That's, I mean, no offence to Karen Khachanov, but that's a bit of a disappointment that Tiafoe has lost in straight sets. And it did come up, I think, in commentary today, the quip he'd made the other day about, I'm a different player when I'm on a show court. And he wasn't on a show court today. And he lost, well, pretty handily.
Mm. I mean, he wasn't on a show court against Vacek Pospisil either. In the round before, and he was fine.
We were so impressed with that, weren't we? You know, tricky grass court player and backing up a big win in the opening round. We thought that was the banana skin. The Pospisil match.
I thought he'd dodged that,
yeah,
and was now into this tournament and could possibly have too much game for Khachanov.
Yeah, I find that result quite a letdown, actually.
Mm.
Great stuff from Khachanov, but yeah, I'm left feeling like I can be so exhilarated by Tiafoe and then I feel a bit, it's unfair to say let down, but deflated. And Khachanov in the fourth round will play Sebi Sebastian Korda, who was so good today. He's such a player already. Beat Dan Evans in 4 sets and was the better player than the 22nd seed and British number one, Dan Evans. I mean, it was Evans's grit and obstinacy and stubbornness that gave him any kind of a foothold in that match, because I think you commented, Matt, early on that it looked like they were in different weight categories.
Yeah. Dan wasn't very happy with the way he played. I mean, reading his press conference transcript, he used the words that he sometimes does. I didn't put my game on the court today. And he was still paying tribute to his opponent and saying how well he'd played. But he was clearly disappointed with what he offered. But I thought Korda was sensational. Mm. He's
something, isn't he?
Got everything, really. I mean, what took me aback, it wasn't the language strokes I've always known about. I love his even temperament. You cannot read any frustration on him whatsoever. He gives you nothing. But the biggest turn-up for me was his net rushing. He went to the net more than 40 times in that match. Pretty much 3 or 4 times as many as Dan Evans did. I wasn't expecting that at all. He was serving and volleying.
It was tactical, wasn't it? Because he knew Dan Evans was going to chip and float the returns. And for a guy of his size and stature, that's easy to pick off at the net. But yeah, I've never seen him do it that much before. And it was glorious to watch.
Yeah, he seems to have really good instincts, both knowing when to come in and where to hit his volleys. It was really encouraging. David, I think in the same way you can't get Andy Roddick out of your head when you watch Jack Draper, I can't get Thomas Burdick out of my head when I watch Sebastian Korda. Just the purity of the strike and how smooth his game is. And yet, I think what we saw from him today with that, yeah, with those instincts at the net suggests another layer perhaps to what Burdick had, and the even temperament and how calm he is completely what strikes me. I mean, his facial expression didn't change the whole match, and I think it's interesting because you know, he's called Corda and his dad's sitting there in the box and
he's aged well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Peter Corda. I don't know if it's facial hair covering up a multitude of wrinkles, but I had to Google his age because I thought that can't be Peter Corda.
But it's the comparisons to his father which come most naturally, but actually Sebi Sebastian credits his mum, who was also a top tennis player, I think about 25 in the world, she peaked at, and he credits her with helping to install and instill this calm temperament, because she was apparently like that, and I think her influence on his game is probably more, perhaps, than Peter's influence on his game. I just find it fascinating, and I cannot get enough of how much the Corda siblings all support each other in all of their various incredible achievements. I love the vibe of that family.
It's big love, isn't it? It's really great. Yeah, I'm really taken with Sebi Sebastian Corda.
And sorry, just one other thing. He says he's in touch with Andre Agassi every day.
Every day?
Yep. Every day that they're talking, apparently.
Does Peter Corda know that?
Apparently, yes. And Agassi was, you know, a big part of of the advice he gave him on his, you know, centre court debut today, and he was tapping into that. And he said, he's not going to the Olympics. He's made the decision to skip the Olympics, and he said Agassi was involved in that decision making process.
Agassi was never big on the Olympics, was he?
No, I hadn't quite realised that Agassi was so involved. I thought, you know, I'd seen photos of of Corda with Agassi, but I hadn't realised that actually it's a kind of official thing that's happening all the time. You know,
so
even though it's remote.
He's got two Grand Slam champions just on speed dial, available whenever he likes. No wonder he's decent. Now, that was all really lovely chat, folks, but consider it an aperitif or hors d'oeuvre or appetizer, if you will, for the main event, which is the reluctantly named birth of Vinik. I don't love that name, but I have surveyed the options, and I have to admit that is the best of a poor selection of options.
Can we just do without and call them their names?
No.
I can't stand these names.
Didn't you coin Sir Andy?
Didn't
that one's funny though. If it's
did
good,
you not like Stefanik?
What? No, I didn't.
Oh.
It was rubbish. I liked
well,
Mathrin.
Well, it's a good job. It's a good job I'm running this show,
funny,
then, isn't it? Vinik, Matt, you watched most of it.
I did. Yes, it was clashing with the Evans Corda match, but you know, it was such a big event. I felt like
can we
it
just
really
tell
my
mum that
attention.
This is Kyrgios and Venus Williams, because she probably doesn't know. There we go.
Yes, and look, they won. They won in a third set against Krajicek and
that's Austin.
Austin Krajicek and
Santa Maria.
Santa Maria. Yes.
First name. Possibly unknown. I mean,
I'll be honest, my attention was on
she
Nick
didn't know
Kyrgios
what the format of
Venus
the match
Williams.
Was so
yes
us not knowing her first name is
yes she asked the umpire whether they were playing sudden death deuce or ad.
Were they
they were playing advantage,
they're playing
normal
deuce. Wimbledon does not recognize sudden death deuce as a thing.
And look, I have to say, they really grew into the match because Kyrgios and Venus were very dominant in the first set. And Santa Maria in particular, who's only 5 foot two, did some incredible, defensive retrieving, I thought. And look, it was just a joy to watch Nick Kyrgios and Venus Williams on the court together, both having a lot of fun. I think Nick Kyrgios in particular, you could tell, was absolutely desperate to do everything he could so that they won that match. And he said as much. Normally, he said, I don't really care about the result in doubles. It's a bit of fun and I enjoy it, absolutely, but I don't really mind what the result is too much. He was, you know, doing his all so that they won, and sometimes too much. Sometimes he was taking Venus's shots and making a hash of it.
It was for me, it was a really strong first date energy from Nick Kyrgios, like talking too much, desperate to impress, whereas her energy was, he's walked into the bar, she's clocked him and gone, oh, not you, but it's so lovely, she's staying for a few drinks.
I think she loved it, though.
Yeah. In a very different way.
Yeah.
To how he loved it. Yeah. Yes. She absolutely knew what she was getting into.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. Kyrgios was commenting on the fact that Venus is able to put things behind her on the court. If something happens that she's not happy with, she's forgotten about it. The next point, whereas Kyrgios is still hung up on something from, you know, a set ago, ranting at the umpire about it or whatever. And he said, you know, that was something he will take from Venus, her ability to do that. I'm not sure
her ability to ignore him while he's ranting at the umpire. Her face was like, you are not doing this on my behalf. It is Sabrina Santamaria, by the way. And she is 65 in the world at doubles.
Do you know, when you said Santa Maria, I thought that was like a team name.
No, it's a great name, isn't it?
Combining Santa
Krychek,
and somebody
Santa
Maria.
Santa Maria, there we go. So Venus Williams, Nick Kyrgios, V-Nick, please submit your better suggestions for a name.
They play Melikar and Roger Vassalin next.
Oh, well, they'll be quite good, won't they?
They're seeded, I believe.
But so are V-Nick. So watch this space for further updates. That, I think, is it for day five of just what continues to be a breathtaking tournament, this Wimbledon. It is brought to you by Mocha, our lovely mascot. I am so loath to mention our personal mascots because of how badly my predictions competition is going. I'm in David Law, Hail Mary territory.
it's quite good fun.
It's only day
to be
six
fair,
tomorrow.
Didn't you win a Grand Slam predictions tournament with one of those recently?
Yes, maybe. But this is more desperate. Anyway, I apologise, Zeus. Scousel Mousel did well today with Matt, Rogue, David. Any joy?
No.
Okay. Thank you to Chris Albert Lee, our executive producer, Billie Jean. Thanks, Billie Jean King, as always. She's moved out of her teepee, but she'll be back in it tomorrow. We have shout outs, Matt. Who are they for?
For Louise Hunter.
Oh, like Hunter the Gladiator.
It's going back about 25 years.
They revived it a few years ago.
Did they? Oh, thanks, Louise. And Louise writes to us, and she's very, very
Hello,
nice.
Hello, Louise.
All right, Louise.
Krishna Narayanan.
Right, Krishna.
Oh. Krishna or Krishnan?
Krishna.
Krishna. So not like Krishnan Guru Murthy.
No.
But a bit like Krishnan Guru Murthy. Hello, Krishna.
Thanks for your support.
And Alison Lemaire.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, the sea. Alison of the sea.
Is that French?
Could be.
Is the M capitalised? Is it like McManaman?
My sister's called Alison.
I think that's French.
Marvellous.
Lovely, lovely name.
Thanks very much for your support.
Thank you very much for all of your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the newsletter. If you do that, if you don't, then I retract my thanks. Do follow us on social media. I'm in charge of the Instagram and I'm loving it. Hannah's on Twitter and I'm loving reading that. It's all an absolute treat. So we'll be back with one more daily podcast from week one of Wimbledon. Don't worry, we're back with seven more next week, but one more to go this week, and it might be a late one after the football. We'll speak to you then. Thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.